You're listening to Latin America in Focus.
Latinoamérica en foco.
América Latina en foco.
A podcast by America Society, Council of the Americas on politics, economics, and culture in the region.
The U.S. is out and China is in. That seems to be the headline when it comes to global trade, particularly China's ventures with Latin America, where it already dominates commerce with the region's biggest economy, Brazil. Not to mention the growing share of Chinese financing in the region for countries in crisis, aka Venezuela. I'm Elizabeth Gonzalez of ASCOA Online, and I spoke to Angel Melguizo, head of the Latin American and Caribbean Unit at the OECD's Development Center, about how this relationship between Latin America and China is changing. Thank you very much, Angel, for taking the time to speak with me today.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
We know that China's influence in Latin America has been growing at a rapid pace over the last decade and a half, and it's become the largest trading partners for some countries like Brazil, Chile, and Peru. How will a more protectionist global scenario that we're seeing right now after Trump's election and Brexit affect China's relationship with the region going forward?
Protectionism harms everybody. I think this is a starting point. This is not helping neither the workers, not the firms. So it's in a scenario in which we have to be worried about. And actually, this protectionism is even before any change in the U.S. or in the U.K. Just since the 2012 until today, G20 countries have established more than 1,000 new trade restrictions.
Really?
Yeah, and we estimate that actually trade barriers since the financial crisis have almost doubled. So it's really a scenario which is going beyond particular countries in the north. Within this scenario, we have to celebrate that Latin America is not following that path. Latin America has been persistent in opening their economies and integrating in a better way. We are seeing steps in the Pacific Alliance to go forward in their integration, also in the Caribbean, in Central America, and even Mercosur, which was like set apart. We are seeing bilateral movements. And this celebration of Latin America, one of the ingredients that we think is the relationship with China, that, as you mentioned, trade multiplied more than 20 times in the last decade between both blocs, and also financial cooperation and even political cooperation is starting to be there. So in this protectionism that is characterizing the world today, the relationship with China seems one of the good spots, but with many changes that we can get deeper because, well, there's a new China arriving and that means a new approach to the relation with the big Asian economy from Latin America.
How is China changing? What is this new China that's arriving?
Yeah, basically, in a nutshell, this transition of China is basically moving from an economy which was investing to an economy which is consuming, with an emerging middle class that is going to be demanding new products and new services. And also it's a economy that is going to open up, not just in terms of trade, but also, and more importantly, in terms of finance and also in terms of political influence and political ideas in the global economy. So actually a total new partner with which we think that all economies, and particularly Latin America, should be more proactive, because the businesses of the past are the past, and the new ones are going to be there, but they have to be worked.
And what do you think the new ones are going to be like?
We are seeing, in terms of sectors, at least two or three big opportunities. We are less optimistic in minerals and energy than, for instance, in food. This new middle class is going to be consuming more meat, more proteins, more fish, more sugar. So we think the agribusiness industry of Latin America, if they come up with a new industry which adds more value to what we export, is one of the venues for these big opportunities. A second area is our business services. Chinese firms, Chinese companies are actually opening up all their activities. And what we have seen in the past is that they arrived and they came with workers and their own services. Why not? We can envisage a Latin America that provides business services, infrastructure, logistics to the Chinese firms that come to the region. And finally, tourism. It's amazing how few Chinese tourists go to Latin America versus other destinies. We were doing some numbers, so and only one Chinese out of every 400 that go abroad go actually to Latin America. This is too few. There are almost the same Latin American people who go to China that from China to Latin America. This is really an area in which we think there are opportunities. But these opportunities need a Latin America that moves and that actively seek these areas. In the past, we were just waiting for China to select, to decide. Now is the time also to pursue these opportunities that are there.
Okay. It seems to me like probably in this changing scenario, in this changing China, in Latin America, the countries that would be affected the most would be Chile, for example, which exports a lot of copper. On the other hand, would Brazil be the winner because they export more agricultural products? Who would be the ones most affected by it?
Yeah, well, the easy response to that is the ones that are proactive in seeking these opportunities are the ones who are going to win. There is a huge heterogeneity within the region, and in the relationship with China is especially the case. Now, for some countries, the new relation with China or winning in the relation with China means upgrading. Brazil, Chile, Peru, the ones you mentioned in terms of trade, well, they have to diversify the products that they are exporting, because these old products, just selling minerals or energy is not going to make the trick. For the countries that were very linked in terms of financial flows and loans, Argentina, Brazil, Ecuador, Venezuela, where I think there we see some waiting of China of whether to go on with these loans or not. For another block of Latin American countries, it's actually almost to build from scratch. The relation with China so far has been almost inexistent versus other countries. The main example here is Mexico. And here the case is actually to define what they want to do with one of the big engines of the global economy.
This is an opportune moment to expand that relationship, since the United States has been really focusing on this talk of renegotiating NAFTA. What are the greatest areas for potential growth?
I have to say that we were in Mexico 1 year ago at the Mexican Senate, arguing that Mexico should reinforce and actually establish a true strategic association with China. You can imagine how it was received. In the past, at least in the early 2000s, if you go to Mexico and mention China, it was mentioning the main competitor in third markets. But it was the case 1 year ago that we thought it was a good idea. It's even more the case today. Obviously, the relation between Mexico and China is almost inexistent in terms of trade, at least in terms of exports from Mexico to China. Only 1% of exports go from Mexico to China versus 5% to the Europe, or more than 80% to the US. So, and in terms of loans, only 1 out of 100 yuans come from China to Mexico. So they go elsewhere. So this is a weak relation. But at the same time, there are some indicators that say that probably we are already in this new stage, because Mexican imports from China are almost 20%. This is twice what Mexico imports from Europe, for instance. Obviously, less than what they import from the U.S. And now from the north, there are some push to make things change faster. But there are opportunities, and one of them, as we were mentioning, is the opportunity in terms of the agribusiness. Some products that Mexico exports, from vegetables, avocado, pork, or even alcohol, are the ones that are expected to be growing at double digits in the next decades, because this more complex demand from the new middle class in China.
If we turn to the US now, what do you think is going to happen between the new administration and China, especially if the US goes through putting tariffs on Chinese imports?
Yeah, I hope I knew. what we see is a huge uncertainty, and actually still we have just more noise than news. Protectionism might help in the short term some economies, but it's going to be hurting the global economy at some point. But frankly, it's really the need to rethink the institutions and the policies that we have been implementing in the past, and also to think what we are saying at the OECD on a new narrative, because actually population, people, are really not sure of the benefit of the huge trends in globalization, in trade, and in finance in the past. And we have to really get deeper into why and how we can communicate better that the way forward is a way not bilateral or unilateral, but mostly multilateral.
Does this make China officially the global leader now when it comes to trade?
It is, in terms of, for instance, in its contribution, in terms of magnitudes. People talk about this China growing at 4, 5, 6% as a catastrophe, as a disaster. And if you control for the share of the total economy that China is today, is really as a China growing more than 30% in the 90s. Because today China represents nearly 20% of the global economy, so which is far more than the U.S. alone. So imagine if the U.S. was growing at 6-7%, we will be celebrating. So we have to celebrate that we have at least one engine of growth of the global economy in Asia. And secondly, well, we really welcome the words from Prime Minister at Davos from China, in a speech of really championing at least globalization and multilateralism, and in this sense, it's really, I think they are really getting well the tone of the times and the tone of the opportunity that they have.
Now, do you think if the U.S. were to impose new tariffs on Chinese imports, is it just logical for China to respond with their own?
Well, I don't know what's logic there to begin with. So we hope not to get into these tick for tack strategies, and hope that there's not even a first move in this direction.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned a lot about increasing Chinese investment in Latin America. What is China investing in?
First, it's a recognition that we were saying the relationship between China and Latin America has to go beyond trade. Well, it was already beyond trade, and it was there. It's good news, first, because Latin America is a region that saves too little and that has huge gaps in terms of infrastructure and actually other investments. So in the financial side, we saw first a boom in loans. China has been the main lender for the states in Latin America in the last 5 to 10 years. Since 2010, loans from China to Latin America are almost $125 billion, wow, which is what the Inter-American Development Bank and the Development Bank of Latin America, CAF, jointly lend together to the region. So they are. China is really the main lender in terms of quantities, and also China has been keeping this pace of loans despite the economic slowdown in the region. It's true that these loans were very concentrated in Argentina, in Brazil, Ecuador, and Venezuela, but actually these were the countries that were suffering the most. So this stabilization role of loans is really helping and we see also a boom in terms of foreign direct investment, and there China is investing mainly in extractive industries, in land, and in energy. Also, already some signals of investing in green energy in Chile, in manufacturing, in technology and innovation in Mexico. So a diversification of investment to other sectors, not just extractive industries. And we will be seeing, we are almost sure of that, a reshuffling and some changes in the loans portfolio. Probably China is going to be lending to more countries and not just to these four countries that I was mentioning that concentrated almost all the money flowing from Beijing to the region.
And what about investment in infrastructure? Isn't that sort of key to making the supply chain more efficient for exports?
It matters for everything. I mean, Latin America has been investing historically around 2-3% of GDP, while Asian competitors and Asian emerging economies have been investing between 6-7%. So all the estimates suggest that Latin America should double investment in infrastructure, and it means especially investing in energy, electricity, and investing in transportation. This second case is especially linked, obviously, to trade, and this is where we are really, really lagging behind in terms of all kinds of transportation, both from aerial transportation, but also trains and better roads. But we would add another dimension in this need of better infrastructure in order to foster trade, which is the so-called soft infrastructure, logistics. It's not just to have the roads, it's also to have the systems. So here, all the support and all the financing that we can get from China would be more than welcome. But here is also where the more important it is that Latin America responds as a region in an integrated way.
Right. When we start talking about the economies that are performing badly in Latin America, like Venezuela, which will still be in recession this year, how does that affect Beijing's interest there?
Particularly in the case of financial flows and financial support and loans, probably Beijing is really weighing the benefits and the drawbacks of the past concentration of these flows in four countries. 2015 was still, until 2015, China, half of the loans of China went to Venezuela, which was a very, very high concentration, half of all. But for instance, since summer of 2015, we have not seen any big operation in terms of loans between China and Venezuela. So probably things are gonna be changing there. And we see this scenario a bit different to the one of Brazil, for instance, which is the other case in this relation, where we have seen China continuing their support for the economy and even some very big operations in the 2016. So obviously this economic scenario is not helping. So far, China has been really resilient. This role of the loans of China as stabilizing the region actually show that China has an interest which is unrelated of the economic cycle, but probably some economic cycles are more acute than others, and Chinese are good investors.
And I guess Venezuela just owes China a lot of oil now, right? So they won't be breaking that off anytime soon.
Yeah, absolutely. And there, I think one of the policies that Latin America and Venezuela also should really foster is more transparency in these financial flows. But obviously for Venezuela, it's important to maintain some type of external financing. And this is one of the few that they have.
Let's turn to what the consequences of a more invested China in Latin America means. There is a reason why the TPP left China out, because the United States wanted to set the standards for for labor rights, for example, and environmental standards. What does it mean in those specific areas for China to be setting the standards?
Here again, we have to ask ourselves, why should China set the standards? I mean, that's why we were calling for a new association. We cannot complain that China is setting the standards if we don't try to also set the standards or discuss them. Yeah. Obviously, so far it was at the interest, at the best interest of mostly Chinese firms and Chinese government. These investments in certain sectors as extractive mining or even infrastructure. The analysis of these activities is that there was a bigger risk that they were impacting the environment, number one. And number two, they were investments and trade and financial flows that were producing less jobs than the financial flows and the trade that Latin America was having with other partners and the rest of the world. So now is, let's make sure that Latin America establishes the regulation and the policies for that not to happen or those risks not to materialize. In the environmental side, I mean, Latin America should start to negotiate in an integrated way with China. This is why all the regional platforms can play a big role, because they open, let's say, the market with which China is negotiating. And on jobs, well, sometimes it's a matter of lack of skills of Latin American workers, and not just the fact that Chinese investment is coming with certain conditions or with also Chinese staff. We are the region with the highest skills gap. We are the region in which the highest share of firms say, I have an opportunity, I have a project, but I don't find the worker with the adequate skills. 50% of Latin American firms are in this case, only 30% in OECD countries. So yes, there are impacts or potential risks of this China investing more in Latin America, both in terms of labor markets and environment, but it's not written down in stone. It's also the product of a passive approach from the region to the relation with China. On the Chinese case, and we see some hints for optimism, in the sense that some guidelines from the Ministry of Trade start to put environment at the forefront, or even some free trade agreements establish or include some environmental safeguards. This is good. This is happening on the Chinese case. Let's make sure that it's also happening from the Latin American side.
Who do you think could be those regional leaders to sort of speak out, maybe set the standards, talk with China? Could it be perhaps Chile, who has really developed the renewable energy sector? I imagine the Pacific Alliance. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, we are thinking about the Pacific Alliance, but also Argentina and Brazil. I mean, it has to be really a Latin American approach. I wouldn't like to stress or to pinpoint one or two countries, but I would say that the region moves the region would move really, really, really to its aspiration the moment that Mexico and Brazil agree, and the moment that Argentina and also Chile and Andean economies move ahead.
All right. Well, I think we covered a lot there. Thank you very much, Angel.
Thank you very much to you. Thank you. Whenever you want.
Thanks for listening. For more, visit as-coa.org.